This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, Chronicles of an Unlikely Couple, where we will share our swinger escapades, the good, the bad, the sexy, and the not so sexy.
Enjoy the show, everybody.
Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So first and foremost, our amazing partner's Cassidy.
Yes, indeed.
Cassidy.com is our favorite place to meet like-minded friends, to learn about events, travel, shit.
Yeah, and we actually just prior to this podcast just got another email from another Cassidy member who is interested in meeting us.
Cassidy's blowing up right now.
Blowing the fuck up.
We're getting a lot of people that are signing up for Cassidy, which is great, but we're also getting a lot of just messages in general from people.
Yeah, and we're meeting people from many, many states. Like literally they're coming to our hometown and we're meeting them and they're coming from a lot of other states.
Yeah, I think people are cold and they need to fuck.
Yeah, well, it's cold here. I don't know where they're coming. No, some of them are coming from warm places. Why the fuck they're coming here, I have no idea. Other than it's spectacular, but fucking cold.
Yeah, it's wrong time of year. But anyway, yeah, we've gotten a lot of activity. For those of you who do not know, Cassidy.com is a place that you can sign up. You can see swinger friends in your areas or potential swinger friends in your area. You can get event notifications. You can post when you're going to be traveling so that people where you're traveling can meet up with you, which is always fun. Some people have kiddos and other things that prevent them from playing where they live. So that's a really great option.
Yeah, and some little horny pants that I know really well has actually reached out to a number of single women in Phoenix where she's headed for a business convention. So she'll be playing probably with a super sexy female.
So if any of you listening are super sexy women in the Phoenix area who may or may not want to make out with me,
for sure
reach out.
No doubt.
But yeah, Cassidy is a great place to go and find what you're looking for in the lifestyle. We also have banners on our page where you can get all of the free services, or I'm sorry, all of the paid services of Cassidy free for 30 days.
Yeah.
So that way you can test it out, make sure that it's right for you. We are confident that it will be because we really enjoy it. And we think, especially compared to some of the other sites we've been on, just well worth the money.
Yeah, and it truly is our best tool for the lifestyle, for sure. I mean, we've met some fucking awesome people, all of which have come from Cassidy. We just met a fucking awesome couple very recently.
It's great. So check it out. We are going to Vegas.
Yes, we are. It's coming up
really soon. So we will be there the 24th through the 27th.
Yep.
The night of the 25th is the big night. We are doing a meet and greet before the Perfect LV party. So if you have not been to a Perfect LV party before, they are huge Vegas events. They do basically like hotel takeover type things. In the summer, they have kind of pool parties. Obviously, this time of year, that won't be the case, but it's going to be quite the production. There's DJs and, I mean, the whole shebang. It's a real production. Yep. So if you're in Vegas during that time, or if you live in Vegas, make sure that you look into that Perfect LV party. We do have a link on our website at frontporchswingers.com where you can buy your tickets if you haven't already and are still interested in doing so. We also have a meet and greet at the same hotel that the event is taking place at, which is the Alexis Park Hotel. Mm-hmm. It's right across the street from the Hard Rock. So if you're there for the AVN convention like we are, it's literally a walk across the street to get to us. Yep. We're going to be in the restaurant of the Alexis Park Hotel. They're going to have like a little section for us there where we can do some on-site recording.
Sure are.
We can have a drink with some people, get to know some awesome people. So we would really appreciate if any of you are in the area, just, you know, give us a little bit of time. We really just want to meet some people.
Yeah, so we've got some folks coming from a few different states actually to come see us that have already told us they're going to be there, and we actually met one of those couples. So we just want to meet our fans and meet people who have heard of the show and listened to the show, and just some like-minded lifestyle friends. Well, come on in, walk up, introduce yourselves, and let's
gonna have
a good
some
time.
Lube to give away.
We have a shitload of lube to give away. Yeah, actually. We have an inordinate amount of lube to give away.
Pretty fucking psyched about that
for sure.
So yeah, come see us, guys.
Yeah, if for nothing else, for the lube. I mean,
and my tits will be out.
And your tits will be way out. I saw that dress.
For sure.
Yeah.
What else do we have? We have had the weirdest, craziest, busiest week.
Yeah.
We had a very weird interaction today, which we are not going to detail.
No.
But I think it literally just ended like an hour ago, and I think we're kind of still spinning from it a
little bit. Yeah, it's up there with the top three strangest encounters we've had thus far.
The weirdest experience. I think it's the weirdest.
It's definitely the most bizarre, and we'll say, without giving too much away, this was with a unicorn.
Yep.
Attractive, very kind of quirky, but attractive woman.
Yeah.
Who we got along with really well. You've been corresponding with for a period of time. We got to meet her for the first time today, spent all afternoon with her, and then just had the weirdest single fucking experience I think I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone for the majority.
I'm still
trying
to figure it out.
Yeah.
Really fucking weird. So it's going to be a good time. We're just not going to talk about it here.
Stay tuned for that one. Our lives are never dull.
No, in fact, she left an hour ago. Actually, it was more than an hour ago because we just had sex for an hour.
Yeah.
After that, because we had to kind of regroup and refocus and recenter.
And that's what we do to do that.
Yeah. Like, and so we just had super hot, absolutely fucking, you know, frustration sex because of our last interaction.
I had come down to my knees. Non-exaggeration. Yeah.
No, you sure did. Squirted all over me.
Yeah.
So things were going well. And then we had to kind of stop and take a break.
Like, hey, can I suck your cock again? And you're like, no, we have to work. I was like, fuck, why do you always have to be so responsible?
It's not going
to
take a long time to do this. We can get back to some cock sucking here in a bit.
We also have a video to do for TabooToys.com.
We do. We're going to be doing another video for TabooToys.com. Today we are going to be doing probably a 10-minute video about some anal toys that we have had the opportunity to use that TabooToys.com had given us.
Yeah. So check that out on our YouTube page, Front Porch Swingers. You can find us there. We're going to beef that up too. We're not going to just have toy videos. We're going to do some cool shit on there. So make sure you subscribe to us on there and check out all the sexy shit we're gonna put on YouTube.
Yeah, it's gonna be good stuff
for sure.
Not until it gets pulled down for being too naughty, but who knows.
Oh god, like it just happened on Instagram.
Fucking Instagram.
Oh, don't even get me started Instagram on those police. Fucking censorship what assholes. Was
that? You put up a fucking stupid meme.
It was a meme about, you know, bondage in the woods, and it got taken down. It didn't even have nudity in it.
It was fucking ridiculous.
So, I mean, that's just something we're dealing with, which we'll actually talk about in this interview we're going to be doing today.
We talk about
that at length with our guest.
Yeah.
I am so excited about today's interview. We did this a couple of weeks ago and have really been saving it for the right time because it was amazing. And
we want to give our guest the proper due. He's a pretty phenomenal in his space. He's a super cool guy. He's got a great following and really has a, you know, very interesting kind of outlook and take on things having to do with sexuality. And we just didn't want to put it out during the holidays when people are kind of running around doing their thing. And right. We thought this was the right time.
For sure. And well, I was excited that it was our first one of 2019.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. The first. It was our first of 2019 for sure.
Yeah. And I'll say, going into this interview, I was really excited to have this person on, not only because he's really smart and interesting, but we kind of tease it in the episode a little bit. I have a crush on this guy.
Yeah, it's definitely a crush, no doubt about it. And it was really fun to talk to him on and off the recording for the couple of hours we talked to him afterwards. It was really kind of fun to watch you guys flirting back
off recording. Was very flirtatious. It turned very sexual very quickly.
It took no time at all, really.
I'm into this.
Well, he's
dude.
A fucking horn dog too, so
he is. And I think that's why I'm into him, because like I've heard him talk about all of his sexy shit.
Well, he's a guy that owns his shit. He's a horny dude, gets a lot of fucking sex, and he owns it.
Yeah, that's so hot.
It is. It's
He's
great.
He's confident in his sluttiness, and I love that.
He is absolutely confident and steadfast in his sluttiness. I truly appreciate that about him, which is why I was like, hey, man, you and Brenner really should get together in Vegas. That'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it's been working out pretty well. We've been flirting quite a bit, but no more intro into this whole thing. We got to get to it because it's amazing, and can't wait for you guys to listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everyone. We are so excited to have this podcaster on our show today, Billy Presida, host of the Man Whore Podcast. I have been a huge fan of this podcast for a long time. Billy, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your work?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name's Billy Presida. I'm a stand-up comedian here in New York City. And I do this show, the Man Whore Podcast, where I typically talk to women I've hooked up with about sex, dating, and why we didn't work out.
Yes, and it is incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, it really is. And I have to say, I, of course, am a fan. Brenna is a super hardcore fan. She has a wealth of knowledge about your show, and I'm super impressed that we got you here. So yes. Thanks.
Yeah, so obviously we are a swinger-based podcast, and you are not necessarily a swinger-based podcast, but you're kind of swinger-adjacent in that you talk about a lot of sex on your show. And one of the other reasons, aside from me being a gigantic fan, that we wanted to have you on the podcast is to talk a little bit about polyamory. And I'll give you the why first. A lot of couples that have reached out to us that have started out in swinging have transitioned into polyamory or have at least talked about it after swinging. So I think that there's definitely some overlap between our kind of two worlds here. But Billy, we kind of wanted to get your perspective on, first of all, what your definition of polyamory is, because I think a lot of people get confused as to exactly what it is, or in some ways it can be different things to different people, but how does that fit into your life? And also, has that complicated your romantic life in any way?
Well, you know, and I should preface all this with, like, I'm no expert, technically. I'm just a comedian with a fuck show, but I identify as poly. Poly, I think, in the realm of non-monogamy, focuses more on the potential for multiple romantic connections. Particularly multiple romantic, multiple overlapping romantic relationships. So I think that's at the crux of it. I think that's what makes it different from other forms of non-monogamy, like swinging or anything else. For me, it gets in the way of regular dating, quote unquote, a little bit, but it's just like any other thing about you. There's going to be people who are into it and people who are not. Mine just happens to be about non-monogamy.
Right.
Like, so, I was at like a speed dating event. I sometimes used to host these speed dating events for some company. And sometimes the offering, so to speak, would be so bad that the women would start like asking me about my availability. I actually remember back in like February, I'd just gone through a breakup. And so I'm walking around and there's a couple of women who are on a break. And so I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? They're like, yeah, you know, it's not that great, but, are you available? And I said, actually, yeah, I just got, broken up with a couple weeks ago. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I was like, yeah, I'm also non-monogamous. And then they just looked at me like I was some sort of freak. They looked at me like I punched a Zika baby, you know? Right. And yeah, and so that didn't feel good. But then again, if it wasn't that, it might have been something else. So, you know, I'd say it gets in the way a little bit because it's just something else I've got to, you know, disclose or share with them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. And let's be honest, Brenna was asking because she totally would bang you. So it's important to notate that we're always open to, you know, the single guy aspect. So,
well, but we're not polyamorous.
No, I guess not by definition.
And because to me, it's like watching you with another woman is like the biggest fucking turn on ever. But if you were to go out with another woman, like on a date,
yeah, that's weird.
I'd lose my damn mind. Yeah. So that brings me to my next question, which is, what do you have to say to people like me who can't get past that like mental block? Is that something that you think that people can kind of get past eventually? Am I just not being open-minded, or is it just a matter of like, we're not meant to be polyamorous?
There's different like modes of thought. I think most people can get past that, so to speak, but also, you got to be true to yourself. Like, some people just like aren't built for non-monogamy. It's not that like because of getting jealous. Poly people get jealous. Sure. I'm sure y'all as swingers have encountered jealous people or been jealous yourself. Being jealous isn't the problem. Monogamous people get jealous all the time. The difference with, I think, ethically non-monogamous people is that we talk about it. It's like, hey, I'm feeling jealous. And then you talk about it. And jealousy is kind of like anger. It's a secondary emotion. So why are you feeling jealous? What is me with this other person invoking in you? Are you feeling insecure? Are you feeling alone? Are you feeling like you're not getting enough time? Like, what is that? And then you have a conversation, because jealousy is a you emotion. Like, that's something you're feeling. Doesn't mean it has to be my issue. But yeah, I mean, I would say like I always recommend people read books like The Ethical Slut and Sex at Dawn, although it's like very dense and not all that exciting, or Opening Up by Tristan Taormino. Like, there's all these great books that you can read, and those can be helpful tools. And then if at the end of the day, like, it's not something you get past, then maybe that's not for you. Maybe, you know, non-monogamy is for you, but the poly part isn't. I don't think everyone should have to be poly. My big thing is having people not choose monogamy by default. That's like my big pet peeve in all of it. So it's not that I'm out here going, everyone should be non-monogamous. It's that you should think about what you want to be. And so many people choose monogamy just because that's what they think they're supposed to do, or what their religion or their parents taught them, or just what that's what's quote unquote normal. It's like, no, monogamy is an option. I think it's a more boring option, but that's an option. But you should choose it because you should choose it after looking at the options, not because that's the only thing you thought was available. And I want us to be in a place as a society where, like, you being non-monogamous is just as valid as being monogamous.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. We talk about that all the time on the podcast. In fact, that's why we started our podcast, because we were very tired of having to feel like as swingers, we have to, you know, hide in dark corners and be at seedy motels and stupid shit like that in order to, you know, be able to connect with other swingers. It's like a little weird underground secret society, and we don't like that. It's bullshit.
Yeah. We've actually gotten to the point now where we're evolving into some different events that we're actually going to start putting together, because what we found, at least in our community, is that kind of seedy underground feeling. Listen, we were considered outcasts at a BDSM meeting that we used to attend on a regular basis because we were swingers. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we're trying to work out.
So we get it. We feel you.
Yeah, 100%.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
So that kind of leads us to our next question, which is, obviously, being swingers, we like watching each other, fuck other people. And specifically, Brian really enjoys either watching or hearing about me be with another man. So have you ever been the sexy stag for a couple? And if so, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I have not been in, say, like a more cucky third appearance. Like, I didn't show up to like make the guy, you know, pretend to feel like a worthless piece of shit in the corner. I haven't been that type of a third, but I've definitely been a third with couples, and or in a group scenario or what have you. Those are fun. You know, you definitely feel cute. I'll say that much, because the third male. The single third male is not the most popular of the options on the menu. And so, and then amongst all the third males available, they chose the one who doesn't have abs. And, you know, is, I was like, all right, I'm in. Nice. Thanks.
Happy to hear. Why do you think that single men are not as desirable from your perspective, being a single man?
I mean, that's my perception just through looking through the Craigslist ads and the Reddit ads and hearing the stories. The Big Mac of swinging is the third single woman who joins you, the lady unicorn, so to speak. That's the most popular item. What am I at McDonald's? I guess I'm the salad at McDonald's.
No.
I'm good for you. I am a positive experience. It's sometimes a better option for you. But, you know, not everyone's ordering that at McDonald's, because when you're at McDonald's, you want the Big Mac. And I'm just like, but yeah, there's a salad here if you want it. I'm here.
Yeah, a respectful, attractive single man is certainly not the salad at McDonald's to us. So,
give me your perspective on this, Billy. I talk at nauseam on our podcast about single guys and the dilemma that we have finding single guys who fucking get it. So as a single dude, I guess you're single at this point, or you obviously were at some time single. And when you were in that scene, can you give some of the single guys out there just a quick, you know, how to? Like, I mean, you know, what was your go-to to be that third guy? How did you get into those three-way scenarios? What kind of specialty did you, you know, kind of characteristics did you use to get in there?
Well, and this goes for whether you're trying to be a third, or you're trying to get laid, or you're trying to anything in sex. A lot of times when dudes ask me, like, yo, how do you get laid? I go, like, stop trying to get laid. I think that's such a crucial first step. It's not just about thirst, because obviously there's that aspect where it's like, oh, well, don't act thirsty. People can, it's unbecoming, it's unattractive, blah, blah, blah. That's all valid. But we also kind of all already know that argument. But a lot of it has to do with just like your actual mindset. You need to genuinely not care about getting laid. That needs to not just be a thing you're doing, like a trick. It needs to be like actually in your core. So you got to do whatever work you got to do on yourself to be okay with whatever's going to go down or not going to go down, and have less of an agenda. When you have an agenda, there's expectations. Expectations come with pressure. Pressure is not sexy. Pressure is not fun. So like if I'm answering a Craigslist ad, I mean, these are some things I'm doing. I'm being transparent. Like, I'm not going to be super dodgy about my identity. I know not everyone has the privilege of being out and about what they do. But also, at the end of the day, if someone outed you for answering their Craigslist ad at work or something, they then have to explain that it was their Craigslist ad. You know what right. I mean? Like, so you have to have a little bit of faith, be a little transparent, like give a picture on the first try, like just show right. some goodwill, use complete sentences.
It's amazing how far grammar will take you.
Yeah. And then there's this other weird one. I know this one's out there, but I tend to like treat the women like people and not a goal. And somehow that's been really good for me. When you don't treat women like objects, they seem to dig
imagine
it.
That. Imagine that.
And it's so strange. I know it goes against everything we've been taught as men, but I just find that not treating her like a conquest and just treating it like a fun connection is a more low key, low pressure time. And also, you know, I say this less about the swinging part, but just the idea of, you know, when you're trying to get laid, when you lower your expectations and lower what your expand what you think sex is, the world becomes your fucking oyster. Like, you get so many options. When the goal is not your penis and her vagina or asshole, you have so many more options for success. Those are the only ways to have a good time. Your odds of success are very low. For me, like, let's say I go to a play party. My goal is to like make out with a new person. That's not the hardest thing to do. It's super fun because like I love making out. Making out's like one of my favorite things to do. And that's a more achievable. And then if anything else happens, it's bonus. So then I can go into most sexual spaces and probably have a good time. And hey, even if I don't make out with someone, I could still potentially have a good time. I might connect with a new person talking. I might get to watch some really hot sex. Maybe I cleared the space with a group that like I could watch a couple fuck and jerk myself off. Whatever it is, like lower your barrier or expand your thinking of what like a successful sexual encounter is. And oh God, you can do so much more fun, cool shit. You know, you hear a guy who'll say like, yo, I went on this date and she only blew me. And I'm like, what are you out of your fucking mind? She only blew you? That's amazing.
That's a win, man.
Yeah. So, you know, let's say you're trying to be the sexy third. It's like, well, stop trying to be a sexy third. You want to go flirt with a couple. Cool. And just like be open-minded to what your involvement is if you're invited to be involved. Because remember, you're not owed jack shit. They don't owe you anything. Not if you bought them a drink. Not if you talk to them for 10 minutes. Not if you bought their ticket to a party. No one owes you fucking anything when it comes to sex. Okay? So get rid of that entitlement attitude. And so that's why I'm usually hesitant to give any like practical advice, because all that practical advice is going to be bupkis if you haven't changed your mindset or changed what your attitude towards sex is, and by way of that, your attitude towards women is. And if you're a man who likes men and women, or a man who just likes a man, like, yeah, the same mentality is like, rid yourself of that entitlement attitude and really shift your view on sexuality. And I think a lot of things kind of start to fall into place from there. And then my practical tips will serve you much better.
By. I mean, nothing to add. Perfect.
Yeah, I can tell you to use complete sentences in like a Craigslist or Reddit ad. And if you still have a shitty view on like women or sex, that's going to come out later. and it's going to fuck you right. over then, so you might as well take care of it now.
We women can smell that a mile away, especially given kind of the current atmosphere of, you know, everything going on with, you know, women in the public eye right now and men being creepy assholes. So good advice, Billy.
Yeah. What's it?
Okay, so we have a fun question up next. We are getting ready to meet our very first fans of the podcast.
Yes, we are.
They're super sexy. Shout out to you, sexy people. You know who you are. Yeah. But Billy, we know that you have met up with fans of the podcast. You have maybe a crazy or a fun story you can share about that?
Yeah, I y'all missed ManwhoreCon this year, and I was awesome.
We heard about it on the show.
So ManwhoreCon is this thing I throw every year, and by every year I mean 2 years in a row, and we're doing it again in 2019. It's a weekend where listeners travel from all over the country and Canada, and they buy a weekend pass, and we basically hang out and do a bunch of really fun, cool, sex-positive events. We go to the Museum of Sex. We took an oral sex workshop at Babeland. We did some mixers. We did a bar crawl. I did a live podcast in front of everyone. We had an exclusive after party, stuff like that, you know? And the after party, which is not a sex party, and I'm very explicit about that because I don't want people who don't want a sex party to feel excluded, but like also let's be real, some titties might come out at minimum. So I told everyone, I was like, yo, no genitals in the living room before midnight.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. Thought that was fair. It gives people like a couple of hours to not be in a sexual space if that's not where they want to be. So if people want to go do that stuff, go to a bedroom, go into a bathroom. But like there needs to be a sex neutral space. So that way everyone can kind of just hang out and be at a party if that's all they want to do. And then just slowly but surely, like people are making out a little bit. And then like some titties come out because, hey, like in New York City, all nipples should be equal. And then midnight rolls around and like slowly clothes come off and my clothes come off. And then some mouths ended up on my cock. And it was kind of almost like a little carousel. Like there were basically two women blowing me at any given time for a little bit. And it was like one would then eventually stop and someone else would come in. Then the other one would stop and a new one would come. That was pretty cool. I think like seven different women blew me for a little bit that night. That was awesome. You know, a highlight of my life, probably. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to watch your fans fuck each other. And it was just a full-on man whore podcast orgy.
And well, you should. That's a super proud. Impressive deal. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I didn't like, fuck a bunch of people. I didn't even really have that much sex. Like I had that fun little blowjob carousel for a bit, made out with some people. I had a little bit more of an intimate time with one person in a bedroom, but for the most part, I was just kind of like watching in awe at what was happening. Like this is low key one of the more beautiful parts. So I sent out like a survey after the weekend. And I said like, oh, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And at the end, I'm like, any other comments? So many people told me that that night was their first ever group sex encounter. And for some of them, it was the first time being naked in front of more than one person. And that was so flattering and cool. And they had a good time. Like it was a positive experience. And that just like, that felt great. And it almost felt like I could set some kind of standard for them.
You only go down from there after that. There's only downhill after that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, for me, maybe for them, like hopefully they can find like a sex party community wherever they live and hopefully bring that vibe there or whatever. Also like, like two nights before the after party, the night before ManwhoreCon started, there was like an accidental orgy because some of us were just hanging out at this condo that like seven of them rented this really cool fucking condo in Midtown. So I went there with a friend of mine, the night before ManwhoreCon to like, just hang out. Just like, oh, we're all here early. Like, oh, let's just chill. And then one thing led to another and like people start making out and there's a cuddle puddle. And then like someone takes off clothes and more people take off clothes. And then there's just a full on orgy. By the end of, you know, by the time I was coming, there was this, by guy from the South blowing his partner, both of his like partners that he came with, because him and his wife were swingers. I was fucking his wife right next to them while I was making out with this other listener. And, you know, it was just, and while my, a partner of mine, she was upstairs in a bedroom taking a nap because she got a little too drunk.
The organic orgies
was
great. Are the best.
It was a fucking, like, it was a killer weekend. Yeah. Organic orgies, organic rim jobs.
Everybody wins.
You know, a good time. So, yeah. So like some people say you shouldn't fuck your fans. I say it's a risky move. I've chosen to be careful. It's not that I don't do it. It's that I make sure I am very upfront and very clear on what something is and what the expectations are. And I make sure that I'm like really good and ethical amidst it all, you know? So even again, like at that fan whore fuck fest that we had, I wasn't like, I was involved, but I was also like really overseeing a lot because I care about my livelihood way more than I care about coming that night. So, I wish you the best for your fans, but hopefully, you know, you make sure you've established things and you make sure that even if if it's a one time only thing, that everyone's going to be cool with that. So that ways you two don't lose a potential listener, but also like, hey, being a public personality, it's a really fun
perk. It is a business decision as well.
It's a perk.
And to be clear,
did anyone see fucking Sebastian Janikowski make that business decision? It's kind of like that. For those of you who don't follow the sports ball, Sebastian Janikowski is one of the oldest players in the NFL because he's a kicker. The kickers are not typically the most physically built people.
Right.
They're not meant to be tackling and getting tackled, right? They're supposed to kick the ball and that's fucking it. And so there was the player returning one of his kicks or whatever, got really far downfield and he was really the last person standing between that player and the touchdown. And he made a fake attempt at a tackle and this instead kind of dodged the player and let him run by him. And the announcer just went, yeah, Janikowski just made a business decision. Because if he tried to tackle the guy, his career, he's going to get injured and his career's done because he's not built for that. Similarly, Billy's got to make a decision, a business decision. And sometimes you got to dodge pussy. Not often, but, you know, sometimes it happens. I will also say this. Oh, yeah. I also try not to be the aggressor anymore. And that, I think, was a much better ethical move on my part. So there's some listeners who will email me or I, you know, interact with on Twitter a little bit or in whatever. They're super hot. They seem fun. They even seem a bit slutty and interested. But I really make sure they make the move on me first rather than me poking around making moves. So I guess all that to say is like, hey, fuck your fans if you want to, but maybe let them come to you. So that way it never looks like you're out there like targeting or using a power imbalance or anything like that.
I want to just throw this disclaimer out there because they totally listen. We're not assuming that we're going to fuck these people. We're just meeting them. It was just a fun question. So
yeah, we're totally looking forward to it because the idea that how the whole thing came about is very cool. They found us and, you know, listened to the show and we're just super excited to meet them on a personal level.
Okay. So here's a question for you. So as a listener of your podcast, I know of a thing called the Craigslist Chronicles, which was so much fun.
Yeah.
And now what's going on with that because of everything happening with Craigslist? And do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah. So I had this like string of bonus episodes on my Patreon page called the Craigslist Chronicles. It was really just a monthly bonus episode where I would tell the story of a hookup I had that was like on Craigslist. And Craigslist is like a catch-all for like Reddit or really any sort of like internet-y type hookup thing, right? And these are people who I never got their name, which was very common with my Craigslist encounters. So
we are.
And I know you two are a Craigslist success story, and that's beautiful. But like not everyone got I didn't get a repeat with everyone and I didn't even get names. Some of them I don't have email addresses or phone numbers. For me, there was a good chunk of them where there's really no way to get in touch. There's no way for me to hit them up and say, hey, remember that bukkake you did? I was one of the nine guys. You want to do a podcast about it? And I don't have that. And so for those are going to just be lost out there. And so I was like, oh, I could tell the story a little bit more one-sided, but I could tell the story. So I would put them out there. Since then, Craigslist going down because of FOSS-DSESTA. sucks. And that was unfortunate because that's how I got a lot of my really cool group sexy type of story. Like, look, 100% of the bukkakes I've been a part of came from like Craigslist. So, yeah, you know, I mean, look, I a lot of that kind of just transferred to Reddit, to be honest. Reddit's a really wonderful forum for those types of hookups. But I do miss Craigslist. I miss a lot of parts of it. And if we just listened to sex workers when they told us to call our senators, this bipartisan piece of shitty legislation would have been passed, maybe. But of course, like, we don't care about dead hookers. So, you know, we didn't think it would affect us. And now it's affecting us. We lost Craigslist. We lost Tumblr. Facebook and Instagram have tightened their community standards. And this is all tracing back FOSTA SESTA, which is a shitty anti-sex worker piece of legislation that is now law. And I love yelling at Republicans. I love it. It's a hobby. But this was a bipartisan piece of legislation. There are Democrats and Republicans alike who supported this because they don't know anything about sex workers. They don't know anything about sex trafficking. And so they didn't ask anyone and they just did it. And it has a lot of censorship implications on the internet. And like we just lost Tumblr porn, and that goes directly back to this stuff. So yeah, you know, they were testing out, can we censor sex workers? Will anyone care? They did, and no one cared. But now they're like, well, let's attack the sexy, slutty people. Let's see if anyone cares. Some people care, but not enough, because your average Joe is like, well, doesn't affect me. Eventually, that's going to come back to you. They're testing censorship right now because they're doing it through an easy avenue. People no one cares about. It will get back to you. It already is, and it's just going to get worse. So keep your eye out for this shit. And, you know, follow some good, awesome sex worker communities. I highly recommend SWAP, the Sex Worker Outreach Project. And there's, Jesus, a slew of sex workers on Twitter worth following, so you know when you need to next get on the phone to a politician.
Great that you actually said that. It was one of the questions we had for you, just kind of where you were as it pertained to the online censorship, you know, where it is right now. And obviously the direction it's going, you know, our Instagram got pulled down. Because Brenna put up a picture of her ass with a thong on. It was, I mean, we were just like kind of blown away by it. The idea that something like that, is happening is just, it's mind blowing.
Yep. I have my Instagram down too right now. It's temporarily disabled. I hope I get it back. Not sure if I will.
Yep.
Mine got taken down the same time as a whole bunch of other sex educators, porn stars, and sex workers who were not posting nudity. We just had the audacity to talk openly and honestly about sex on the internet.
It's worrisome. So
yeah, it scares us. We were literally having this conversation before we got on with you. You know, it's a concern, no question about it. And
you know why people aren't going to get mad? Because they're still in the closet about their sexy sluttiness. Because they live in a society where you can't just be like, I mean, granted, like, your sex life isn't necessarily everyone's business, and not everyone wants to know about your sex life. Like, you shouldn't go to the office and be like, hey, by the way, I'm coming out to you as a swinger. But being able to post on your own fucking social media under your real name about like a really fun night you had at a sex party should not be seen as taboo, something you could get fired over or lose your kids over. And people just got to start caring about this shit. And honestly, part of it is going to involve a lot of people coming out. So many sexual sub communities, a lot of sexual minorities, like the history of them and their liberation journey to liberation involves a swath of people coming out. So that way it's not seen as weird, but seen as something that 20% of your block happens to do. And then maybe we can just like talk like adults. But if y'all want to still stay closeted, that is your right to do.
Yeah, for sure. In some ways, it kind of feels like we're on this brink of, a little bit of a sexual revolution. In certain ways, it feels like people are being so much more open in terms of, you know, being willing to show their faces on social media when they're swingers and all of these other things. And yet, from a censorship standpoint, we're moving backwards in so many ways. So it's just an interesting time to be involved in this work for us.
Just when you think there's a modicum of improvement in the terms of acceptance, you start getting censored online.
You're so called a big old slut for putting your ass on Instagram.
Well, it's slut in the worst way, and we look at slut as a term of endearment. So for us, it's really it's like a big fuck you to us. It just, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if anyone hasn't figured this out, like, Billy Priscilla is my real name. Like, I ain't, you know, I'm not hiding. I mean, I also have a job that didn't. But I used to not have that job. I used to work at In Touch Weekly. And I was out about all this stuff because, one, I knew that my career was not going to run through a celebrity gossip magazine. But also, I think it's important for people just, like, talk about this stuff openly and honestly. It is literally the only way it will be normal. If people who are, like, quote unquote public personalities are the only one talking about it, then it will always be seen as fringe, and then nothing will fucking change. And we'll, you know, you'll still have to, you know, be in the closet and have an alter ego on the internet or have a pseudonym or,
you know, looking down on us or, and us not being able to be who we wanted to be and express ourselves, and really just wanted to try to get other folks, who were feeling the same way, to kind of come out and, you know, be okay with who they are. It was a process we had to go through.
Well, let me ask you, are you two like out in terms of just like, again, not going up to your coworker where like that's not necessarily appropriate, but are you
on the vast majority of our friends are lifestyle friends. Like, they are fellow swingers.
Right.
We have very few what we refer to as vanilla friends, not because we don't want to be friends with them, just because that's not how things have lined up. And we,
not to mention, you know, our faces and our names are, you know, we're all over, like yourself. We don't hide who we are. And a lot of swingers do. There's various reasons. There are, you know, a lot of times there are children involved or whatever the profession might be. You know, for us, the kids component doesn't come into play for us. And, you know, we're just not afraid of who we are and not afraid of people finding out who we are. We, you know, we're doing this because we're passionate about, you know, our lifestyle and not being ashamed of it in any way. So, we don't obviously walk up to coworkers and tell them, but, you know, we're out there.
And our real names are Brenna and Brian. I had someone on Instagram ask me that today, as if I could make up Brenna. I'm not that creative. It'd be like Amy or something.
Yeah, and Brian's not like super creative either. So those are our real name, 100%.
Yes. Okay, so last question that we have for you, Billy,
I would assume
as someone who is poly and someone who dates the way that you do, from what I know from your podcast, I guess I don't want to assume anything based on your podcast, but, you know, there's probably a lot of conversations that you have to have with people in terms of your wants and your needs, both sexually and emotionally. And we hear from people all the time that that's really hard to do with their partner. Typically, these are people that have been together for a long time, but not always. Sometimes it's, you know, they just start dating, but they want to let that person know that, you know, hey, I'm not built to be monogamous, or, you know, I really want to explore sexually with other people, or whatever that looks like. What's one quick piece of advice that you could give to people to start that conversation?
I take the way more abrasive routes most of the time, because I'm a big fan of, like, you should be able to ask for anything. If the other person is, if you're willing to accept a no, then you should be able to ask most anything. But, you know, look, there's a lot of strategies. Some people, will say, oh, you should throw out, like, that you heard about this crazy thing called non-monogamy. And, hey, baby, what do you think about that? Right? There's that whole thing. There's the, oh, I read this article, whatever. I'm just like, hey, if you want something, just be like, hey, I want this thing. What do you think about that? How does that make you feel? But then take it from there and see, is there a negotiation that can happen? Is it a deal breaker? Like, what's up? Exactly. So there's other ways. Like, there is, like I said, you toss out the concept and see the reaction. And if they immediately react in disgust, then you know that maybe it's not a good time, or it's just not going to be with that person, whatever. Like, if they react to disgust that you just mentioning that you heard about it, okay, that's probably not going to work out. But maybe they go, oh, wow, what'd you hear? Or what'd you think about that? Maybe they ask, like, what you think about that before you even ask them. Like, it's a conversation starter. Maybe it's that, you heard that so-and-so is opening up their marriage, and, oh, wow, that's wild. And maybe your partner goes, oh, wow, good for them, but I would never. And maybe they go, like, huh, interesting. Interesting is a great way to, it's a great little crack in the door to slip through. There's all sorts of ways to bring it up. I think the best way is to just go for it. But hey, you know your partner better than I do, because I'm just some comic in New York City. You know your person, and you know what's going to be best for them.
A stance of non-judgment when you're talking to your partner, right? So if your partner comes to you and says that they want or need something from you, immediately responding with disgust is not the best way to go.
For sure.
Typically leads to some resentment.
Yeah, judgment is the first response. It's usually going to go downhill.
Well, yes and no, because the person, the scenario I'm proposing is not saying, hey, I would like non-monogamy, and they react in disgust. I'm saying like that soft approach of, I heard, you know, Joe and Jill down the block are opening up their marriage. Or, hey, I was listening to this podcast and we were talking about this thing called polyamory, and I was reading up on it and it seems interesting. Stuff like that. Then it basically is a safer way. It's like a more impersonal way to propose it. Because if they react in disgust to the concept, then you proposing it sure. as something actually happening for you two is definitely not going to work out. So it's kind of almost like a litmus test. Like, okay, let's toss out the concept unattached to us and our relationship. And then you can get an idea. Because if they react in disgust to two other people doing it, there's definitely not a chance they're going to react well to right. you saying, hey, I'm interested in dating other people or fucking other people or going to a swingers club together. But if they go like, oh, interesting, or they ask questions or they say, oh, yeah, right. you know, hey, actually, before I met you, I was in an open relationship. Cool. Now you can have a conversation. But you also, when you go into it, need to prepare to hear a no. And that no needs to be okay to hear. I mean, granted, if you're at a point in a relationship where it's all or nothing, like you need an open relationship or the relationship is done, maybe you need to look at where your relationship is at. But if it's something that you want, you know, but you could live without, or if it's something you're curious about, like you need to mentally, or whatever it is, you just need to mentally prepare yourself to hear no, because it's possible you will. And that shouldn't, especially if there's someone you want to continue to be with. For sure. Whether or not they're into 100%. It, you need to get your head in a space to hear a no, potentially. At least I think that. And by the way, I say all this having like very minimal experience with the good old poly girlfriend stuff, because like I think accidentally part of my brand is that no one wants to date me. Like, no, people want to fuck me, but they don't want to date me. I mean, that's why I started my podcast, because like, these women would sleep with me and then I would want to get more serious and then they would tell me they just want to fuck. But then they would keep fucking me. And I eventually was like, I want to know why I'm so undateable, but also fuckable. And so wow. I actually only got my first like bona fide post-college girlfriend when I was 26 years old. And, you know, I've had a girlfriend for about two wow. years. Since I was 26, and you know, I'm still figuring it out.
Where can we find you and your work?
Yeah. So you can find the Man Whore podcast wherever you're listening, to this show here, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. Search Man Whore. I show up. That's Man Whore, one word, which is weird that I have to explain how to spell Man Whore.
Sorry, spell it out.
But also, you know, the U.S. is not very high in education anymore. So maybe I do have to explain it. Yeah, no, it's man whore. It's just one word. And then you can find me on Twitter at the Billy Procida. That's the Billy Procida.
Well, I want to give you a very big thank you both for coming onto the show, as well as for providing your amazing content. Yeah. Listening to you and a couple of other sex related podcasts was really what opened the door for me personally to start exploring. Our listeners know that I grew up in a very rural area and monogamy always was the default. And, you know, not being able to Aww. Express myself sexually, I didn't realize until just a couple years ago how much that hindered me. And now I feel like I'm in an amazing relationship and doing all of the things that I want to do sexually. And you had a part of that. So I really owe you a huge thank you.
And actually, for that matter, I owe you a huge thank you also, because she's super different now. So yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, no, I'm flattered. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Billy.
We enjoyed it. Thanks, Billy.
If you're anything like us, when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin. And it can be really intimidating. And we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.